Greetings and welcome to the Audio Tidbits Podcast Network. We hope you enjoy the show.
Thank you for choosing to join me for this episode of How to Matter, where to matter makes a difference, and to make a difference matters. In episode 101, I focused on kids and temper tantrums. In this episode, let's expand the discussion to kids with more serious difficulties managing their anger and frustration. For these children, it's not enough to attempt to deal with the problem through the normal course of parenting. The child is experiencing difficulties that go beyond the kinds of things that the normal give and take of parenting will resolve. Let's first consider Randy and his issues. And once we have done that, it's important for us to then focus on some of the issues in our contemporary world that make dealing with these kinds of issues more and more critical. And it's also equally important to deal with them in children at a younger and younger age. Let's consider Raging Randy.
No one could tell how Randy was going to be from one minute to the next. Sometimes he was almost nice, but usually he was in a bad mood and hard to get along with. Anything could set him off. Thursday morning before school was a perfect example. Sue and Julio were coming in from the bus talking and minding their own business. For no reason, Randy yelled, "Hey, stupid," to Julio and then said something to Sue. Whatever it was, it embarrassed Sue and Julio said something back to Randy. That's all Randy needed. It looks like Julio would have known to just keep his mouth shut. Everyone knows how Randy is. I don't want to repeat what Randy said, but you could hear him screaming all over the building. When Mr. Miller arrived, Sue was crying. Julio was on the floor holding his head, and Randy was standing around acting like the whole thing was Julio's fault. Children learn to hit and hurt people. Children who have been abused learn this behavior from people who took it to the extreme. Parents who think it is all right to whip and hit their children teach the same lesson. They teach hitting and hurting are okay if you do not hit too hard, hurt too much, or if you are bigger and stronger. It is the same lesson for the child, though. Be sure you are not teaching this to your child. It is exactly what you do not want him to learn. Of course, you need to stop your child from hitting and hurting. Ask him to stop. Insist he stops. If necessary, restrain him from the behavior, but anytime you can, do not try to physically stop the behavior while it is happening. Be sure to set a good example for him. Also, be sure everyone in your home does the same. Teach others to back off when he gets upset and angry. No, this does not mean he gets his way. It just means everyone agrees not to push when he cannot control himself. He will calm down after a while. Try to stay out of his angry space. Try small rewards for good days, days when he does not hit or hurt. A treat, special privilege, or something he wants usually help. Use negative reactions very sparingly. The payoff for him needs to be for appropriate behavior, for not hitting and hurting. Always talk to him after he has trouble. Sit quietly with him while he calms down. You can then talk about his angry feelings and how he managed them. He needs to learn to pick up on the signs he is about to lose control. Say, "Once you get angry, stopping is very hard. You can learn to stop, but it is tough. It is easier to stop if you catch it before you lose control. If we can figure out when you first started to get upset, that is the place to control it. When did it first start getting to you?" The goal is for him to spot situations and people that set him off. As he learns to see problems coming, his control will get better. Starting and getting into fights is worse. Several things need some thought here. Where did a child learn the behavior? It is not true children often fight. By 10 or so, most youngsters never get into physical fights. Those who do have a problem. They think that fighting is a good way to settle things. They may have learned this at home. They also may have learned it from living in their neighborhoods or attending their schools. Some places are very rough. Fighting may be the normal way to handle problems within their group. Wherever the child learned the behavior, fighting and more serious violence are nearly certain if it goes unchecked. This is worth a try. Say, your fighting is a serious problem. We have tried several things over many weeks. List the things you have tried. You are still fighting. Here is the problem. I want to help you but wonder if I can. However you feel about it, I want you to know where I stand. If you and I cannot work this out, it still has to be worked out. The fighting has to stop. We will start with counseling. If that doesn't help, we will take the next step. I do not know for sure what it is, but we will take it. I will do whatever it takes to help you. What if he says he does not care? Say, that is a shame. I wish you cared. I care and will do what has to be done to help you over this problem.
With Randy and his difficulties in mind, let's focus first on what we might think of as the myth of normal development. I think most of us have no difficulty understanding and accepting the idea that some children, in a physical sense, develop faster than do other children. The physical development of children falls within a range, and yes, most children are toward the middle, but some children develop much slower and others develop much faster. The same thing is true with intellectual development. We don't have much difficulty understanding that, as much as we hate to admit it, some children really are smarter than others, and some children are less intellectually endowed. Garrison Keillor of Lake Wobegon used to say that it was a place where all of the children were above average. Well, we certainly know that that isn't true. As we consider the development of children, though, a point that is very much overlooked is that the social, emotional, and moral development of children also falls within a range. Some children develop faster and farther. Some develop slower and less far. If we simply focus on the ability to get along with other children, some kids are simply better at it than others. Some have a developmental advantage relative to other children. This is also true in terms of a child's ability to understand and manage his or her emotions and to regulate his or her behavior through moral judgment and through value development. With that in mind, some children are simply going to have more difficulty developing good emotional regulation than are other children. Specifically, some children are going to have more difficulty dealing with their frustration, anger, and strong negative feelings than are other children. If we go back a generation or two, that wasn't a real big problem. Children were literally given more time to work through the really complex task of emotional and social management. Some children had pretty much mastered these areas by the time they were 5 or 6 years old. For others, it took another 2 or 3 years. By the time children were 9 or 10, though, almost all of them were getting along okay with other kids, were managing their emotions in a reasonable and fairly appropriate way, and had pretty good social, emotional, and moral regulation. We're certainly aware of the pressure on children to develop at a younger and younger age, and the related pressure on parents to assure that their children develop physically and intellectually at a younger and younger age. The reality that's easily missed, though, is that in contemporary society, there is an equivalent pressure on children and parents for earlier and earlier emotional, social, and moral development. We might think of this as the new normal development. Children are expected to reflect good emotional, social, and moral management by the time they are 5 or 6 years old. Fortunately, many children and many parents are successful, are able to conform to the new norm. Unfortunately, though, many are not. It is a real dilemma for far too many children and far too many parents. What's the answer? I certainly don't know, since we as a society, since we as a culture, are barely beginning to understand the question. I hope you found this episode of How to Matter helpful as you pursue making a difference with people who make a difference to you. I'm Dr. Gary Crow. My website is howtomatter.net. I hope we have a chance to visit again soon. Mm-hmm.